Second Timothy, chapter 1. Now, before we go here, we've been talking about spiritual warfare and for quite some time. And it's real. And actually, when you really, really pay attention to it and really put it all together, what's going on and what we see going on in the world, it gets a bit scary to even think about it. But the Bible says we're not given the spirit of fear.
Amen.
Verse 7 right here says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." So, we're going to kind of go into that a little bit. But He hadn't given us the spirit of fear. He said, "But of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
Now, there's some folk who accuse me of not having a sound mind, including myself. Last check, I'm okay. But nonetheless, you know, we're looking at a serious thing that a lot of people just write off. There's a lot of preachers that won't even talk about it. Really and truly. Look at verse 8. He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Yes.
Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed,
yes,
and am persuaded,
yes,
that He is able." He's able. Not a maybe, not possibility, but He is able to keep that which I've committed. What's that? I've given Him my life. I've asked Him to come into my heart and save me, and He's able to keep it. He says, "Unto Him against that day." What day, really? When He says, "Come up, Heather. We ain't got to worry about it no more."
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Or it may be when we have some persecution and it don't turn out real good. We'll talk about that in a minute. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." We've had a good thing committed unto us.
Amen.
Especially pastors and missionaries.
Yeah.
It's laid out there, committed unto us to carry on the gospel, to give it to other people.
Amen.
And we should.
Amen.
We don't always do it, but we should. Amen. Now jump over here to chapter 3. Verse 11, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all," what's it say? "The Lord delivered me."
Yes.
Wait a minute, Paul lost his head, didn't he?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the Lord delivered him. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But continue. We see it more and more. It's getting worse and worse. They're evil men and seducers shall wax worse. We're seeing the wax worse and worse.
Amen.
We're seeing it coming. We're seeing it. What's the fancy word? I think it's fruition. We're seeing the fruit. We're seeing the bloom of the evildoers out there. They don't punish them no more. They get to where they just pat them. Some of us in here know of some people that's been in big trouble and ought to be in jail, but they're not. Just letting us go. He says, but deceiving and being deceived. We know people that's deceiving. They're trying to deceive folks. We know people that's been deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now he says, and this isn't true for all people, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There's some in here wasn't raised in the Holy Scriptures. But if you look at it in a different sense, when you got saved, you're a child of God, right?
Amen.
That's the way I like to look at it. Yes. So we know that from a child, you've been learned and hast been assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not part of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It wasn't some guy sitting out in the desert, bored in a cave, and decided, well, this sounds good. No. It was holy men of God, led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Told
Amen.
What to write. And they put it in here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction.
Amen.
Amen.
It is. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You shouldn't be doing that. For correction.
Yeah.
Quit doing that.
Yeah.
And for instruction in righteousness. You shouldn't be doing it. Quit doing it. And here's how.
Amen.
Yeah. You want to stay together? Here's how. That the man of God, all right, we'll change it for you. That the person of God, the male or female of God, may be perfect. In other words, that word means mature. We don't have to stay babes and suck our thumbs all our lives.
All right.
But I'm going to tell you something. Way too many Christians. Well, you're preaching to the choir. I know. Way too many Christians. They suck on their thumb.
Come on now.
And they suck on their thumb.
Yes.
And in one of these days, the Lord's going to call us up, and they're going to still be sucking on their thumb. We're not supposed to. It says that we can, it's profitable for us for reproof, correction, instruction. Hey, I like instruction.
Yeah.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not partly furnished.
Amen.
But thoroughly. I ordered something one time. I can't remember what it was years ago. But it didn't have half parts in there you're supposed to have.
Oh,
you don't have to worry about that with the Word of God. The Word of God is thorough. It's got everything in here you need. From the time you come out of the womb and then you begin to be able to read, all the way to the time that you just can't read no more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, we have no excuse not to pay attention to God's Word, because did you know my phone will read it to me?
Right. Yeah.
It will read it to me.
That's right.
Like, hey. I can't see it. Roger, he got Cadillac. Why have your phone read it to you?
There you go.
I mean, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I like not picking on them because I'm considered one of them.
The elderly.
Oh, I can't do much anymore. I got problems.
Well, you can pray.
Amen. Amen.
What more important than praying?
Yeah.
We can pray.
Yeah.
Hey, I knew an old guy. Sawtail. This old man, he preached. The last time I heard him preach, he's in his 90s.
Woo!
And he, First Peter said that, and he stopped. He said, June, where was that? And she said, well, you were First Peter. Oh, yeah, I got it. And he took off and preached. Always visiting people, got the car wrecked.
Oh, man.
They took his license. You know what he did? He picked up the telephone, called hospital rooms left and right, and talked to them people and prayed with them on the phone.
Amen.
He was busy. He was praying.
Yeah.
He couldn't do nothing else, so wouldn't let him out of the house no more. So he prayed. He said, hey, I've got to keep serving the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I hear these preachers. Well, I'm retired. You better talk to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't retire from it. Now, the Lord may use you in a different way.
Brother Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bless his heart.
He lives with Sister Deb, I understand. Teaching Sunday school. Jose was teaching Sunday school. He's teaching it. He preaches for me.
Yeah.
He still stays busy, but listen, I know some don't do nothing no more.
Right.
Yeah. I just said that. Somebody asked me where somebody was that was here a long time ago. What's he doing now? And I said, nothing, what I was told. Well, how do you do that? I said, I don't know. I can't figure that out. I ain't never been that lucky just to say, well, I ain't going to do nothing. It's never worked for me anyway. And now... So, regardless of the challenges that you face or you're going to face, regardless of it, we've got to trust God.
Amen. Amen.
Because the Bible doesn't say times are going to get better.
No.
Brother Will said earlier, he read a little Revelation.
Yeah.
Got in the book of Revelation. I know people that are scared to death to read the book of Revelation. But it says in verse 3, if you read it, you'll be blessed.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
That's right.
But guess what? They still, but I don't like to read all that. Well, listen, we know where it's going. So with that said, it ain't going to get no better. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. Don't you think the closer it comes to the time for Satan to be cast into the lake of fire, and come time that he's going to be thrown into the pit for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
He's working hard.
Amen. Amen.
That's exactly right. He knows his time's short.
Yeah, you know.
But Christians sitting on their hind ends at pause. But the devil's still working. He ain't sitting around.
No.
He's staying busy.
Yeah.
Regardless of all of these things going on in our lives and some of the stuff I pay attention to and I read and I listen to with the, as they call it, conspiracy theories, which it's not, it's truth theory, it's truth. You get worried. But nonetheless, we got to trust God that He'll deliver us. You see, now you might say things are good. I'm glad, if you can say that, I'm glad you can say that. But wait a bit. If you're a Christian, and you're telling me that you live in godly, things are going good, Pastor, give it a minute.
Amen.
There's going to come a time in your life that it seems like the more you obey the Lord, the deeper you get in with God,
yeah,
that the more storms you're going to encounter.
Say it.
It really is. It's going to come to that point
that's
where you're going to be at. Go with me over to the book of Mark. Chapter 4. Book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. And the same day when the eve was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Wake up, we're dying. We're going to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Yes. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now, there's going to come a day in your life, if things are going smooth. Now, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, how's things going at church? And I said, brother, I said, every time I turn around, something's going on. Somebody mad at somebody. Somebody looks at somebody wrong. Somebody grins at somebody that didn't want to be grinned at. Some guy come in here and want to try to deceive things. One guy in here gets up and says, well, I don't believe none of it, and walks out and leaves us hanging. He said, well, you know you're doing things right.
There you go.
He said, if everything's going smooth, he said, you might just be in a little break. You know the eye of the storm?
Yeah.
Of a hurricane is smooth.
Right.
I've been in the eye of a hurricane. Ooh. It's just as calm. Man, you'd hear fairy talk. But trust me, it's coming back. Ain't good. We were on an oil rig one time, and man, we were 50 foot out of the water, and the waves were popping on the sides of our rig, splashing up in there. And the eye of the storm come in like glass. And we walked out the door, and I'm like, ooh. And my tool butcher said, hey, you idiots, get back in here. It ain't done. And it wasn't done. Look, you give it time, then you're gonna, and there's gonna be a time that you're gonna say, Jesus, wake up!
Yes.
Why are they sleeping? You're gonna feel like he's sleeping. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard a preacher say something about Jesus sleeping in the boat. And I loved it. It was funny. He said, I took that. He said, I read this. He said about Jesus sleeping in the boat. Why is he sleeping in the boat? He said, I studied it. He said, went through the commentary, done that to Jesus, and the Jesus, and whatever other Jesus there are. Went through the theologians and talked to the doctors. And he said, I've got to figure out why he's sleeping in the boat. He said, you know what I come to? He was tired. I'm like, when he said that, I just cracked up, and I'm like, well, you know, that's true. He was human.
Right.
Yeah. I said, he was 100% human. He was 100% God. Right. But at that time of his life, he was right there. He was not omnipresent. He wasn't all powerful. He was right there. He was Jesus, and he was human.
Yes.
And he was tired. Ain't you glad that Jesus ain't asleep? He ain't
Amen.
Tired.
Amen.
He don't wear out. He's alive and well and
Amen.
Alive in heaven.
That's
and
it.
When we call on him, he Amen. Hears us.
Right.
He hears what we said, what he said, what we ask.
Right.
You see, now if you want to say I'm tough and you don't want to call on him, good. I'm gonna call on him.
Amen. Amen.
I've heard people say, well, I don't want to bother Jesus with this little problem. Well, don't. But I am. I got a problem. I'm going to ask him.
Amen.
I've had people really tell me, well, I don't want to bother him with this little problem. Look, you ain't bothering God.
No.
God spoke the world into existence.
Right.
Spoke it. Not built it.
Right.
He spoke it.
Amen.
You think your little problem is going to be a problem for him?
Amen.
No. It's not. It's not. It. Listen, we can call on him anytime we want to.
Amen.
You see, this was seriously a point in the apostles' life. It's kind of like a pivotal point for them, a changing point in their life of the disciples. This storm, you think about it. Now, I don't know how many of you have been out in the ocean. It ain't no fun when the storm comes in. I've rowed 10, 12 foot seas in a crew boat that's 50 foot. And you're cruising along there and you come up over a wave and you can hear the Detroits, boy, they wah, bam!
Woo.
And it just bam! For 8 hours we did that.
Oh, my God.
And you're thinking while you're out there, you know, this ain't good. You get sideways in 10 foot seas, you got problems. In a 50 foot crew boat, that ain't very big. It's scary out there. They were in the Sea of Galilee. Dangerous storm. It was about, as far as they were concerned, it was about to send them to the bottom.
Yeah.
They were, and it said, by the way, their little boats with them. They had some little bitty ones out there too. What do you think them poor guys were doing?
Right.
Their boat was full of water. Things ain't good.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you sleeping for? We're going to die. You know, that's the way. That's the way. But it's the way we look at it.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Jesus, where are you at? What? Hello, where are you at?
Yeah, with all Jesus.
Sometimes he don't just answer us right away. But trust me, he's there. Wouldn't you rather have him in the boat asleep than not in the boat at all?
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
But we don't have to worry about him sleeping. You see, they went and they woke him up. And he was sound asleep. But he asked them two really, really penetrating questions. And I've been asked the same question from the Lord. You know, when things just seem to like fall apart and you're about to panic and it's like, what am I going to do? Jesus comes across with these. Why are you so fearful? Why? Why are we so fearful? Don't you got any faith? Oh, that ain't proper English. I like it though. That's like, this world ain't my home. Don't you got no faith? I done did give up. That's two negatives, right? Or whatever they call that. I've been studying English, brother. I did plural pronouns the other day. They're important. Woo! Hey, bless God, I'm going to be an English teacher yet. And, you know, he asked those two really serious questions, and I'm sure that it kicked them right square in the chest.
Oh yeah.
You know, why are you so scared? What's your problem? Don't you have any faith? Look, I already told you. Look what he said real quick back here. Where did I start reading that? 35. Jesus said this right here. Let us pass over unto the other side. That should be enough for them and me and you to accept it. But then you got some of those people, you know, they're like, oh, them sinful boys. You know, they're the Pharisees. In the church, you know, well, them stupid disciples, they've been walking around with him, seeing all of this stuff they're doing, and they're worried about a little stone.
Yeah.
Hey, how many of you in here ever been, the Lord's taking you through some rough times?
Yeah.
But you do the same thing when the rough time comes again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't be looking down too much on the disciples because they were panicking. They were in a bad situation. You see, the only logical thing for these guys is that clearly they didn't really understand who he was. They knew he was the Messiah. They've been studying it all of their life. And they knew that was him. But it just ain't dawned on them really who that is. Sometimes it just don't dawn on us who Jesus is.
Amen.
He's God. He's the Almighty. He's the powerful God. He get, and that's all right. Listen, he raised Jesus from the dead. Surely he can raise us.
Amen.
Surely he can protect us.
Yes.
You see, even though, I want you to think about this, even though God is all powerful, he has never, there's nowhere in the Word of God for me and you now. Now, there were some promises to Israel. But there ain't nowhere in this Word of God that says he's going to protect me from environmental problems.
Right.
There ain't. There's nowhere in here that says he's going to keep somebody from robbing my house and possibly killing me. There ain't nowhere in here that says the tornado's going to jump my house and get the next house when I'm living where they have it. It ain't in here. He never said that. Now, yes, he did give some promises to the Israelites that we didn't get. You do this, I'll do this. But he's never told us, oh, Brother Larry ain't going to wreck after his wife did wasn't going to break her arm. She broke her arm, and then Brother Larry decided he'd wreck you next day. Hey, wait a minute. Where was God at? He never promised we wouldn't go through those things.
Amen.
He never promised that you wouldn't have a loved one get killed in a car accident.
That's right.
He hasn't. He's never promised not one time to us, but you know there's people that they hold that against God. Well, what did God take away my baby from? Why did God take away my mom? Why did God take away my uncle or my best friend?
Yeah.
He never said he wasn't.
That's right.
But they hold it against him. Listen, he never says in the Word of God, nowhere in here, that we're going to be totally 100% protected from people that hate Christians.
That's
it ain't there. You can't find it. These health and wealth bunch of idiots. Well, you do all this, and you be sure you put your money in the offering plate and throw it up here. You be sure to do that, and God's going to bless you, and you ain't going to be sick. And if you're sick, you must be sinning.
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't giving me enough money. That's all lies.
Yeah.
It ain't in there.
Yeah.
What's sad, people believe them.
Yeah.
They do.
Let
me start it on them. You see, there's people that hate you and the message of Christ. They hate what you stand for.
Yes, sir.
They literally do, but yet they want to call us a bigot. We were talking about that last night. Now, however, we do have some promises. And they're important promises. Let's go over to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews chapter 13. Man, I like reading these verses here. These verses here, they excite me. These verses here comfort me. They make me feel better about all of what I know is going on right now. They make me feel better about the world that my grandchildren are growing up in. They really, the world my grandchildren grow up in stink. The world these kids are growing up in. Listen, you couldn't pay me to be 12 years old. If it was possible for me to back up and be 12 years old in today's world, I'd say no. We need to be praying for these kids. They've got a hard world coming. Now, they got it made right now. Well, mom, dad takes care of them. Grandpa and grandma take care of them. They make sure to get fed. They make sure they're safe. But they're going to come a day, they ain't going to be with mom, dad, grandpa, grandma. and no better than what things are going right now. Gonna be rough. That's why you better stay close to the Lord.
Amen.
He said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." In other words, quit worrying about, well, I gotta have this and I gotta have this, because bless God, the neighbor's got it. I gotta have it. You might not want it when you get it.
Amen.
But hey, be content with what you got. If the Lord wants me to have a Harley, He'll give me a Harley. Now, I might wish I never had it. But when He's ready for me to have it, if I'm close. If the Lord ever wants me to have it, trust me, I'll get it.
Amen.
If the Lord wants me to have that rope horse, I'd rather have a rope horse than a Harley. A really nice rope horse with a can on him, butt like that. Back him up in there, man, in that rope box, and you can just feel the power underneath you. And when they come out of a rope box after that steer, they ain't a better feeling. It is pure, raw horsepower, and it ain't polluting the system. You know, I ain't destroying those, though. Like John Kerry, he flies around in his jet. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. They probably... He says, be content with such things as you have. You children, be content with what you got.
What you got.
What I want it is, well, bless your heart. Hey, folk in hell want ice water. But they ain't going to get it. You might not get it.
Amen.
I'm serious. Listen, we might say, well, we deserve. You don't deserve nothing.
Amen.
We're blessed when we get stuff.
Yes.
Ought to be that way. He said, be content with what you've got. And he said, for he has said, oh, who's he? Jesus. Jesus had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He is. We've seen Him do some things at Wagon Wheel.
Amen.
I've been to some other churches. I've seen some stuff happen. And it's like, what did I just see? Hello? That's called God showing up.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I thought He was already here. No. Yeah, He's here with us. But man, when He shows up. Listen, I can be here. Very seldom is it this way that you don't hear sound if I'm here. But I also can be here and everybody knows. Oh,
yeah.
Elmo walks in the door. Elmo's here.
Yeah.
You ain't got to wonder. You can hear him. Freddie, when we sing it, you ain't got to wonder if Freddie's singing. And see, God comes. God's with us.
Yeah.
But sometimes God shows up.
Amen.
You know what I mean by that. I like it when God shows up. Woo! Man, that's good. That's good stuff. And I will not fear. Oh, now you need to get this, because in the day and time we're living in, the way it's going, it may not be too good. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What they going to do? You know the most they can do is kill you? Well, that's pretty bad. I agree with you, it is. But guess what? That's all they can do. They can kill this whole body, which is wearing out anyhow.
Amen.
But they can't do a thing to the soul.
Yes.
Not a thing to the soul. Yes. They can't do a thing to it. You're already in God's hands. If you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, if you trusted Jesus, asked Jesus, Lord, save me, you are saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you are there, placed in the hand of God, in the hand of Jesus, and can't nobody pluck you out.
Appreciate God.
Now, I'll just be up front with you. I ain't jumping up and down out in the 95 trying to get run over to go to heaven. I wasn't like cockroaches to come around me this morning and about went to glory or wherever he was going to go. He was moving.
And I didn't, when I saw him in the rearview mirror, I thought, oh yeah, and I moved and there he was. But he was cruising. Look, I'm not just jumping up and down and aching and trying to die. When the Lord wants to take me, take me. But I ain't got to worry about it. Once I leave this body, whoo, I'm present with the Lord Jesus. Present with the Lord Jesus. Nope. I don't have no more problems. See, He's assured us that nothing can happen to us that has escaped His attention. He's not up there, oh, I didn't see that car. I didn't know Larry was going to turn. No. Listen, He knows all about it. It ain't nothing to surprise Him. You see, well, Lord must not have loved me last week because, man, I had a hard week. No, we don't have to worry about that. He loves us all the time.
Right.
Even when everything hits the fan and just blows all over you, the Lord still loves you. He really does. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you get to John, back up. Matthew 10. What verse I want to go to? I'm almost done. Verse 29. He says here, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Listen, we don't have to worry about it. The Lord takes care of us. You see, as our omniscient, all-knowing God, He never sleeps, even though sometimes we might think He's sleeping. He ain't sleeping. We ain't got to worry about that.
That's right.
We may be tempted to think He's ignoring us through our painful experiences. See, here's what happens. The devil says, oh, Hannah, if God really, really loved you, you wouldn't have those problems. Or you might say, if God really loved you, you wouldn't have that.
Yeah.
If God really loved you, the doctor wouldn't have said that. And you know what we do? Stupidity kicked in.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You know what we do? We start contemplating what He just whispered in our ear. Now we done messed up. We open the door.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, he's it.
Yeah.
And he just goes at it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, what we ought to do is look at it whenever the devil says, hey, Hannah, God loves you, you would have those problems. Shut up.
Hey,
that's what we ought to be doing. When the devil says, hey, if God really, truly loves you, you can get this. Shut up. Oh, we can't use that. We've got to use touch. No. Shut up. Get out of my life. Leave me alone.
Yes.
If you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
And don't have to the devil, He'll run from you.
He'll run.
We don't run from you. Remember, you ain't got no armor on your back. Don't turn your back on the enemy.
That's right.
He gets you.
That's right.
Yeah. One thing my dad taught me when I was growing up, son, don't ever turn your back on nobody that you have problems with.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a fight, he said, don't you run. Don't ever take off and run because you become vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's true. Where's your eyes at, right here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I thought my dad had something here.
Damn
it. But my eyes are right here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fight this away. I can fight this away, though.
Yeah.
I had I had a big kid jump on me. He should have never turned his back. I had a baseball bat, and I laid him out. Right across the back, boom! Right here, actually. He hit the ground. You know what I did then? I jumped on him and beat the dog mess out of him. He turned his back on me. Listen, he had me by about 4 years. I had to run. He should have never looked on me. But he should have never turned his back. Listen, we don't turn our back on the devil.
Amen.
What we need to do is face him, draw close to God, and the devil will flee.
He will flee.
And we're not worried about it.
He will flee.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that he'll run from it.
Yeah.
I really do. You see, he never sleeps. And don't ever contemplate the devil saying, well, if he really loved you, no. Just tell him, shut up.
Shut up. Amen.
You don't need it. Mm-hmm. You don't need the problem. You got enough. Listen, think about it. When you're in a bad situation, you got a lot of mess going on, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why in the world do you want to add to it?
Oh, yes.
And that's what we do. The devil says, wait.
You know. And we think, oh, you know, maybe that's right. No. Now you're adding to your problem. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. Because
yeah.
You know better. You see, stupidity is knowing better and doing it anyway. We know better.
Yeah.
I know what's going on, and I watch things, and I see what's happening. I know where what the end of the book says.
Amen. Amen.
But there ain't nowhere in the Bible that says, rest. It's all done. You sit down. Let them do whatever they want to do to you. I'm coming to get you eventually. Throw a towel in. Listen, the Word of God doesn't say that. We are to stand firm.
Amen.
No matter what's going on.
Amen.
We've got to. The spiritual warfare is real, and it's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But remember what he said. He didn't give spirit fear.
Yeah, that's right.
We got the spirit of power.
Yes. Yes.
We got the spirit of strength.
Yes. We're
the Almighty God.
Amen.
And we ought to live that way.
Amen.
You see, Paul captured really this great truth when he wrote in Philippians. Bound in chains, and he probably knew he would never be delivered. But let's go over there. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to end. Philippians chapter 1. It's somewhere in the Bible. Right before Colossians. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 19. Philippians 1, 19, he said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Oh, but then he said this, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're to be living as Christ.
Amen.
We're to be letting others see Christ in us.
Yes, yes.
But this is what. But if we do, yea, and all them that live godly in Christ Jesus, go and suffer persecution.
That's right.
Might even die for it. I told somebody the other night. The Columbine shooting, and I hate even bringing it up because they want to say, take the guns! Little girl, she's a little teenager, laying there on the floor, took a pistol out, and he said, denounce Christ. She said, no. And he splattered her brains all over a schoolroom floor. Now look at this. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Today, that little girl, there ain't no way she'd come back from where she's at. She's in heaven with the Lord. She wouldn't come back.
No.
Oh, and she's up there with a lot of folk we know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, to die again. I'll say it again. I'm not jumping up and down out here trying to die.
When the Lord's ready, He'll take me.
Right.
But we don't need to fear what man may do to us one day.
Amen.
Because we are in spiritual warfare, and we do fight spiritual battles. We know that the entire war has been won, bless God. Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
But we do got some battles along the way.
Yes.
But we need to remember, who's on your side?
Jesus.
That's it.
Amen.
You see, I got Jesus with me. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right there. I didn't promise that everything going to be peachy and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be with you.
With you.
If the tornadoes come, I'll be with you.
Be with you.
Whatever comes, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me end with this. And you all know the story, and I've used it before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, King, I'm going to paraphrase it for you so it'll be quicker. Hey, you guys, bow down now. I like you.
Bow down. I don't want to hurt you. Oh, King, we ain't got to think about this, dude. We ain't bowing down to you. We ain't doing it. Don't even got to consider it. Ain't got to think about it. We ain't doing it. And by the way, King, he can help the Lord to deliver us. But if not.
But if not.
That those three words really, really may come to play with some of us one day, if not all of us. But if not, He'll deliver us from your hand.
Amen. Yeah.
And the old king got torqued off. He didn't like that. Out killed some of his own soldiers in the process.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man.
Mm-hmm.
But if not. See, we got to remember, listen, Samson.
Yeah.
Did he deliver Samson? Well, Samson pushed the tower down and killed himself along the...
He delivered him out of the Philistine camp.
Yeah.
He'll deliver us out of whatever comes.
Yeah. He might stop everything. He might. If you're about to get killed, maybe they put you on the gallows one day because you won't denounce Christ, and they let go and the rope just comes undone. And they all fall down dead and run off. I don't know. But then again, if it gets the old neck, He delivers you.
Yeah.
We'll be in heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation.